Good morning. My topic I went with is blood, sweat, and tears. I could have gone a few different ways, but that's the one that I picked out to be the title. My talk is not about weight per se, but the comparison of it and the work you have to put in to make yourself fit spiritually. But that being said, some of you have commented to me that there seems to be less of me than there used to be, and those of you that said that are correct. I've been putting a lot of sweat and tears into trying to make myself in a better shape. I used to just complain to my wife about my weight and the weight I gained over the years since we've been married, but not do a whole lot about it. There have been multiple times that I did the Randy diet. Teresa had asked me what that was, and I'd just say, I don't know, I'll eat some fruit or something. It never really worked very well. I was in shape when I was in high school. I played basketball every day, and I still look at myself like that's the way I'm supposed to be. But poor eating choices that I used to hide with better metabolism have deteriorated and caught up with me as I'm nearly not in my 30s anymore. Sometimes you need a trigger in your life to jumpstart you, to hit you, and make you make some changes that you need to make. Whether it's comments or something happening to you. I started getting teased at work about my weight, and a lot of times it was people that were just like me and had weight problems, but Then I hit the last straw. There was a guy, he didn't have any weight problems. I just walked in the room one day, and he's like, "What's up, fatty?" It's like, I was so boiled over. That was the first thing that happened to me at the very beginning of my day. I was determined that nobody was going to do that to me again. That I was going to work harder than I ever worked before. Most people wouldn't have such a problem believing in God and creationism, but it requires a lot of dedication, and they don't want to commit. And that's why they use these other beliefs and fall into these other things. Believing in God takes work if you're going to follow the book, and they don't want to put in the time. They just rather ignore and think everybody's going to heaven when they die and just comment, "Oh, he's in a better place now." Not necessarily is that always the case, and it's not the case as many times as people use it. Many people's problem in getting in shape physically is not believing that it could help them, but the amount of dedication that you have to get there. During the past several months, there has not been any bloodshed, as in my title, but plenty of sweat and tears, or at least groans of some kind from the basement as I'm trying to exercise. You have to get some pain if you're going to get desired results. You have to have sacrifice. You have to have dedication to reach a goal. Serving God is much the same way. We have to sacrifice many things that might appeal to our fleshly desires that God wants us to abstain from in order to please Him and gain a heavenly reward and receive His grace to get us into heaven. There are many things I didn't want to cut loose of my life. I didn't want to give up Cheetos. I love Cheetos. They taste almost, they're almost as good as bacon. I like Pepsi. I used to drink over 100 ounces of Pepsi a day. Chips, McDonald's French fries, all the greasy goodness. I didn't want to give that up. But if I wanted to lose weight, then something had to go. I haven't had a Pepsi in over 90 days. And that's something I haven't ever done, I don't think. The bloodshed in this talk didn't come from me. But it did come. If you turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Starting with verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." For he was withdrawn from about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you be willing, please remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as I be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, giving him strength. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were as drops, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Christ was sweating with tears as drops and tears as drops of blood for what he had to give for us, and the pain that he was about to go through, and the blood that he was going to shed. "Nevertheless, not my will, as thine be done," he said to his Father. If we go to James, the first chapter, starting in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tried of God, tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Some diets out there allow cheat days where you can eat whatever you want. A lot of them do. But when we cheat on God, it's not good for us. And He wants us to be pure. We are supposed to be dedicated servants of God. In Hebrews 11, the sixth verse, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Not half-heartedly seek him. Not casually seek him. But diligently seek him. There's got to be work. You got to put in the work. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that isn't, that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worth all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe." There is good to come from bodily exercise. It's not saying that it doesn't do any good to exercise your body. It does do some good. There's health benefits to it. But it's trying to point out that spiritual exertion is much more profitable because the results of that are going to build your eternal soul and not just a fleshly body that's going to perish away at some point. This way that I'm trying to change myself, I'm told it's a life change. I'm told that if I don't continue on this path of changing my diet and working harder at exercise, I will go back to gaining weight and put on even more than what I had before. I don't want that. I put the tape measure around myself the last time and stretched it out to what I was when I started. I was like, man, that couldn't have been where I was at. But it was. If we go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, starting with verse 15, which we're all familiar with. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from all these, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified and meet for a master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call out the Lord out of a pure heart. If we fall off the path of serving God, the same will happen to our souls. What friends do you associate with? If I surround myself with junk food in the cupboards and nothing really healthy in the fridge, I'm going to be tempted to eat it and be unhealthy again. I had to throw that stuff out. If you hang with those that are lost and without any intentions of leading those people to God yourself, you're just merely there to socialize, then you become lost yourself. It may happen so slowly you don't even realize it's happening. And then all of a sudden you're so far away from God you can't even see where it was you were. You don't know how to get back. You're scared to ask for help. When I work out, I prefer to use the videos because I've got somebody there pushing me to do more. Because I listen to what they're saying, and I try harder. But if I just rely on my own self, I'm not going to get as far. I need somebody pushing me. If we go over to 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 13, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle, not the company of fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. For then must ye needs go out into the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, with such one do not eat. For what have I do to them? For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. We're not supposed to just hang out with people that are going to get us in trouble or lead us down a path that we shouldn't be going, especially if they don't respect God. And just a chapter further over in 1 Corinthians 6, starting with verse 12, says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that that which is joined into a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your own body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own. We are God's. If we were to change our appearance here today and reverse the way you look, and our spiritual lives is what everybody saw on the outside, would you even want to look in the mirror at yourself? Would you be horrified to look in the mirror at yourself if you're going to look and see what you look like spiritually to God? Let's go to 2 Peter, the third chapter. Starting with verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men concern slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Have you lacked commitment? Have you ever committed in the first place, starting with baptism, to your faith? Have you showed any of that dedication? If you haven't, and you realize it's time, then you need to make a commitment. You might not get another chance. This might be your last opportunity to be here. Something could happen. It's not really worth taking a chance when your next million years depend on what you do in this life. You can consider that your invitation as we stand and sing.